Welcome, welcome, and welcome, everybody, to the Rob Zicaro Show. I am your host. This is our program. And I think everybody's going crazy today. I do. I think everybody's going completely crazy today. Like, nutso. As you know, the Iowa caucuses were last night, and the outcome is exactly what everybody has been predicting. And now people are writing as if it's some huge deal. As you know, Rafael Cruz won the Iowa caucuses. And I'm going to call him Rafael Cruz again. Why? Because some of my conservative friends are going out of their way to say, look, look, we're not racist. It's bizarre. Now Rafael Cruz is a Cuban. Now all of a sudden he's Hispanic. The guy never identified himself as a Hispanic. I'm telling you, my conservative friends are losing their minds. They really are. They're losing their minds. Everybody's losing their mind. Everybody's losing their mind. Everybody's acting like this is a huge deal. And remember, we've been talking about this for weeks, maybe months. And I said I was conflicted. Did I want Trump to win? Did I actively want him to lose? Did I actively sit here and hope he'd lose? Remember, I was conflicted. History shows winning the Iowa caucus. All people on Twitter that I must have tweeted that to 7 or 8 of my conservative pals. Cruz has got momentum now. Look, Cruz has shown Trump can be beaten. Look. And I just kept tweeting, Santorum Huckabee, why are you forgetting the history of Iowa? I don't remember anybody doing this back in 2012. I don't remember anybody running around saying, oh, Rick Santorum, he's going to be the nominee. Rick Santorum's going to be. I remember everybody going, well, of course Rick Santorum won Iowa. Of course. See, it's literally the only state. It's the only state where tens of thousands of people vote based solely on a candidate's religion. I mean, they are the number one state for homeschooling. Iowa is all about Jesus. They are all about Jesus. They are all about Jesus. And yet still, 45,000 votes. No one's talking about that. Nobody's really even talking about that. It's historic. Nobody's really talking about that. And that doesn't bode well for the Democrats, regardless regardless. Is the nominee, what would I do then? So we're not going to talk about that. But the Democrats should be worried about the Republican turnout. Democrats should be terrified. Hillary Clinton barely won. I mean, she barely won. Light up the world. There was no Obama-like turnout. Republicans turned more people out than the Democrats did in Iowa. That does not bode well. Does not bode well for the Dems. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Good. So let's take a look. Let's analyze. Let's break down these numbers. Shall we do that? To do that. Let's break down these numbers because I think they're important to take the results from last night and compare them to 08 and 12. Break them down. All right, let's break them down. So, Ted Cruz won with 27.7% of the vote, which equals about 51,649. Okay? Breaks down to 45,416. Marco Rubio, he finished at 23% with 43,102. Followed by Ben Carson. Yes, Ben Carson at 9% and 17,393. And Paul at 4% and 478. And finally, Jeb Bush. And good old Jebber comes in at 3% with 5,235. Imagine all that money that was spent by the Bush crew. And you just get 5,000 people to vote for you. Oish. Oish. Man, that's horrible. I mean, that's just horrible. Oy, oy, oy. Now, you take those numbers, okay, and you put those numbers against 2012, okay? Let's put those numbers against 2012 and see where they stack. Rick Santorum won in 2012 and he had 24.5% of the vote, which equaled 29,839. And as you know, Rick Santorum did not become the Republican nominee. And if you compare the numbers, Cruz, Trump, and Rubio got more votes than Rick Santorum did in 2012. So there's your compare and contrast as far as turnout, which I think should be the real story. Cruz winning was expected. When you visit 99 counties and hold prayer sessions at every single stop, you're going to win the Jesus vote. Okay? You're going to get a third. You're going to get more than 60%. Okay? Do you understand? When you go to 99 counties, and in every single county, you hold a prayer session, you're going to win Iowa. You're going to win Iowa. Do you understand that? Do you get that? When you're holding prayer groups in every single county you go to, you're going to win Iowa. Now, Romney finished second. Romney had 29,000. Again, Cruz beat Romney, Trump beat Romney, and Rubio beat Romney. And Paul finished third at 26,000. Again, Cruz beat Ron Paul, Trump beat Ron Paul, and Rubio beat Ron Paul. So that's how Cruz, Trump, Rubio matched up against Santorum, Romney, and Ron Paul in 2012. And again, Santorum did not get the nomination. Matter of fact, Rick Santorum did not win any more from that point forward. He didn't win New Hampshire. He didn't win Nevada. That was it. Iowa. End of story. Now, let's take it back to 08. Huckabee at 40,841 was still beat by Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, and Marco Rubio. Again, the big story, Republican turnout. That's the big story, Republican turnout. $40,841 was how many people voted for Mike Huckabee. And Cruz beat that number. Donald Trump beat that number. And Marco Rubio beat that number. And again, I will remind you, Mike Huckabee did not go on and get the nomination. But I'm going to break down these numbers and the people a little bit more just so you can have a perspective. And again, I ask, were people saying Mike Huckabee's going to win the nomination? Mike Huckabee's got momentum. Mike Huckabee's going to become the next president of the United States. I didn't hear that. The second place finisher was Mitt Romney. And he had 29,949 votes. And you know, it was not Romney's turn. And he did not win the nomination. But it gets better. Because you're saying, wait a minute. I know who won the nomination in 08. And you haven't mentioned his name. This is weird. Exactly. Third place was a man by the name of Fred Thompson. Fred Thompson is dead. He was a character actor for many years. He became a congressman and ran for president. Fred Thompson finished third with 13.4%, and it equaled 15,904 votes. So, Rob, who finished fourth? Oh, are you going to tell us the eventual 2008 nominee finished fourth? Yes, I am. Senator John McCain finished fourth in the 2008 Iowa caucuses with 13.1% of the vote. And that equaled 15,559. Yes, John McCain, who finished fourth in Iowa, eventually went on to become the Republican nominee, not Mike Huckabee. McCain, 15,000 votes. Huckabee, 40,000 votes. Again, I don't remember everybody talking about John McCain's demise. I don't remember that. Maybe it happened and I was in a fog somewhere, but I don't remember back in 08 people saying McCain is done the day after the Iowa caucuses and Mike Huckabee was going to sweep because he had the momentum. Everybody said the exact same thing. Well, it's Iowa. Iowa. They're the home of Jesus. If we were the Middle East, Iowa would be Bethlehem. If we were the Middle East, if the story of Jesus was told, but instead of it taking place in the Middle East, it took place in the United States, the center where all the action took place, all the Jesus stuff took place, would be in Iowa. The tomb of Jesus being buried would be in Iowa. Everything about Jesus would be in Iowa. And that's what people said in 08. Everyone dismissed Iowa as the telling vote casters when it came to the presidency, when it came to the nomination. Get it. We're in a 24-hour news cycle. Got to have something to talk about. Got to create excitement. Got to create this horse race. But I think it's a little bit silly that everyone, including my conservative friends, including my conservative blogs, find it kind of silly that everybody's acting like 2008 never happened, like 2012 never happened. And all my conservatives, friends that love Ronald Reagan and like to compare Ted Cruz to Ronald Reagan, they seem to dismiss the fact that Ronald Reagan not only skipped the Iowa debates, but he also lost the Iowa caucuses. Hell, Iowa used to have a straw poll, which Michelle Bachmann won. And that gets swept under the rug. That gets swept. So Iowa's history is not very good. And up till what? 10 days ago, Donald Trump was down 10 points in Iowa consistently. Donald Trump was down 10 points consistent. Every poll that was taken had him down 10 points. Imagine what the outcome would have been if they never flipped those polls and showed that Trump was up, and then Trump made the big push in that last week where he would have finished. Could have been looking at a McCain finish. And then what would everybody have been saying? I mean, already they're talking about his demise. He lost. What's going to happen to his brand? His brand is all about winning. He's not used to losing. He doesn't lose. Will his supporters abandon him because they want a winner? And he's all about winning. And again, I just sit there and I go, what the hell are these people talking about? What are they talking about? Everything is based on being a winner. We said yesterday, no one in the history has run the tables. No one in history has run the tables. This notion that Donald Trump is now a loser because Ted Cruz out-Jesused him in Iowa is pretty silly. Pretty silly. And this notion that Trump's brand is about winning. And the minute you lose, you're done. It's over. Finished. Your brand's damaged. Again, it's just bizarre. It's a narrative that the media is trying to create. And it's not just state-run media. It's also my conservative friends. I'm a little appalled. I'm a little appalled by my conservative friends. Some of the blogs. Some of the blogs seem to be forgetting the history of Iowa. I mean, for heaven's sake. In Cruz's victory speech, he was quoting scripture. His victory speech, he was quoting scripture. Remember 3 weeks ago when Trump called the Iowans stupid? Remember that? Remember that? Ben Carson was beating Trump and he had that rally. He basically said, "Are you people stupid? Are you people just stupid?" If you think about it, Trump lost by, say, 6,000 votes. The 6,000 votes were the people that got offended because he called them stupid. And when he was quoting Bible scripture, he quoted 2 Corinthians. Like two of them. And everybody went, "Oh my God, you just did that wrong. You're not one of us. You don't love Jesus like we do." There you go. That was the difference right there. Stupid people and 2 Corinthians. You could split those evenly into two. People were fed and being called stupid, and people were offended that he didn't know 2 Corinthians wasn't two, like 1-2. Like they were two people. It was kind of funny what he was doing, that whole Corinthians thing, because he's reading from the Bible and he has no idea what he's reading. And you know, he just grabbed the Bible and his daughter or his son or Corey, his campaign manager, like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Don't worry about it. It's gonna be good. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna read some scripture." They're like, "What do you? What? No." He's like, all right, you ready, guys? The 2 Corinthians, right? Right? We all like the Corinthians, right?" And everybody in the audience were kind of chuckling, like, "Oh man, he has no idea what he's reading, right? 2 Corinthians, huh, guys? We all like it, right? This is my favorite book. It's my first. You know, my my second favorite book is The Art of the Deal. My first is the Bible. So 3,000 Corinthian supporters left him there, and the other 3,000 left him when he called them stupid. He called me stupid. Why would he call me stupid? I'm homeschooled. Why would he call me stupid? I'm homeschooled by my mom, who was homeschooled. We believe the earth is flat. Like I said, I was torn on supporting a Iowa win. You remember that? You know I'm not BSing. Remember I was torn. Said I don't know. You win Iowa. Not too many good things happen. I think the polls in Iowa, the Des Moines Register and a couple of them other polls, flipped those results just so they could get some of that Trump money. Because remember, that's when Trump started throwing in some ad buys and doing a little more of a ground game. I think they flipped that around to get some of that cash. I think they're like, hey, how can we get Trump to give us some money? He seems like he's just writing us off like McCain did. How do we get some of that cash? Well, we'll, you know, get the polls a little closer. We'll make it seem like he actually has a shot. We'll make it seem like he could do something that's never been done, which would be run the tables. All right. Well, let's flip it a little. Get it close, and then we'll flip it. Let's get it close. Then as he pumps money, we'll flip it. That will have him spend a little bit more time. Or maybe not. It's a theory. Maybe the theory's wrong. Who knows? I heard other theories that not showing up to the debate cost Trump. I don't know. You're talking about 6,000 votes. You're talking about 6,000 votes. Like I said, were those 6,000 votes decided with two Corinthians and asking if they're stupid? Or were 3,000 decided with Corinthians and being stupid, and the other 3,000 were decided when Trump did not attend the debate? We'll never know. We'll never know. Why? Because Trump still got 45,000 votes, which no one is talking about that. When he was compared to Giuliani and he was compared to Herman Cain and all these other fly-by-night candidates that when push came to shove, none of them won any caucuses, none of them won any primaries, none of them won any delegates. Well, Trump won 7 delegates, and got 45,000 votes. Jeb Bush got 5,000 votes. Rand Paul got 8,000 votes. Ben Carson got 17,000 votes. Marco Rubio got 43,000 votes. So Trump beat a lot of seasoned politicians, with the exception of neurosurgeon Ben Carson. But of course, no one's going to say anything about that. Instead, they're going to say, oh, but he didn't win. Because he didn't win, that means it's a failure. Trump has lost a bunch of things before. There's a football league called the USFL that was a bust. I mean, you know, we don't watch the USFL. We watch the NFL. Trump was a big part of the USFL. A shot. He rolled the dice, and it lost. That's what happens. You got to take your shot. Got to take your shot. If you don't take your shot, you will always be a failure. You will always be a loser. Losers are people who don't take shots. Losers are people who are afraid to fail. It's not the failure that makes the loser. It's not trying. That's what makes the loser. Not getting up and trying again. That's what makes the loser. But that's not the narrative. It's not the narrative. Now remember when we talked a few weeks ago about Ted Cruz and his similarities to Barack Hussein Obama? Another one of those similarities, your head after these Iowa caucuses, and that being organization. Everybody said the key to Ted's victory, the key to Rafael Cruz's victory, was his ground game, was his community organizing. Faith-based community organizing. Remember? Obama, the community organizer. Well, you have Rafael Cruz, the faith-based community organizer. It's amazing. It's amazing the similarities that are just popping up with Rafael Cruz. It's amazing. We could run them down again. Harvard. Just, well, help. Go from the very beginning. Born in Hawaii, but rumors, speculation, conspiracy theories, possibly that Obama was born in Kenya. Possibly, rumor, conspiracy theory. Ted Cruz, born in Canada. Not a conspiracy theory, not a rumor, fact. both at some point changed their names to cover their ethnic identity. Rather, it was Obama being Barry or Raphael being Ted. Both had or have American moms. And both have and had foreign dads. Both went to Harvard. Both are lawyers. Both worked for the Harvard Review. Both have a connection to Princeton. Cruz attending, Obama's wife attending. Both have a history in Washington or ties to Washington. Obama had a local level in Illinois and working his way through the legislature and then into the Senate. And Ted Cruz working for the Bush administration, working for the Supreme Court, and then eventually becoming a senator. Both community organizers. Ted Cruz on a religious aspect of community organizing. Obama on a religious slash civil rights community organizer. Both being first-time senators, freshman senators, I guess you could call it. Both running to become their party's nominee, and both winning Iowa. But on the Democrat side, sometimes the person that wins Iowa goes on to get the nomination and eventually win the presidency. Sometimes. On the Republican side, that is where the similarities end. That is where the similarities end. Because history, from Santorum to Huckabee, McCain, Reagan, Poppy Bush, Iowa is just a afterthought. afterthought. Iowa is meaningless. Because most of the time, winning Iowa amounts to nothing. And that's what Ted Cruz just achieved. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He can have all the momentum he wants. He can have all the faith-based community organizing he wants. He can have all the biblical passages he wants. But that stuff ain't going to work in New Hampshire. It ain't going to work in Nevada. It ain't going to work in Florida. And it's not going to work in South Carolina. Iowa is the only place that faith-based community organizing works. End of story. End of story. End of story. So, all the Cruz supporters, all the conservative media who's in love with Cruz, enjoy this, because this is all you're going to have. This is it. This is absolutely it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Now, I know the establishment can hardly contain their joy that Marco Rubio finished where he finished. But let's face it, guys. If you dump the amount of money that Rubio did in the last week and a half into Iowa, and you're putting on 30-minute infomercials, and you don't get any bounce, you need to kill that campaign so all these people don't waste millions and millions of dollars like they do with Jeb Bush. I mean, Rubio spent millions. Infomercials, 30-minute infomercials. Again, look at the amount of money. Look at the amount of money that Cruz and Rubio spent in Iowa to get what they got. And then look at Trump. What he spent, how he ran his campaign, what his message was, and the outcome. I mean, Cruz went on a 99-county faith-based community organizing run. Every single spot, get together, pray, quote Bible scripture, throw his wife and kid out there to pray with people. It was like watching Pat Robertson. Who, by the way, guys, was another strong Iowa finisher. Okay? Pat Robertson. Yes. Yes, don't forget that. Pat Robertson finished second in the Iowa caucuses ahead of Bush. And I don't think too many people were talking about Pat Robertson as the momentum. I mean, think about this. Pat Robertson finished second in 1988, okay, in the Iowa caucuses. He finished ahead of George Bush, okay? And nobody sat there and said, oh, Pat Robertson's got the momentum. Oh, yeah. Bush, he's done. Yeah, Pat. People went, well, of course Pat Robertson would finish second. Of course. Of course. The guy that runs the Christian Broadcasting Network. Of course. The guy in 1988 that wanted to ban pornography, of course. Yeah, that guy finished second in Iowa. And nobody said, oh, yeah. He's got the momentum. Strong second place. Oh, yeah. No. No, because everybody knows Iowa is a joke. And I'm sorry if I have fans and listeners in Iowa. I'm sorry. Okay? I already lost a couple listeners over the last few days because I think they don't believe I'm Jesus-y enough. Because this is a conservative talk show. People instantly think that I am a Jesus freak. Because a lot of the other talk show hosts that are on the radio, like your Mark Levin and your Hugh Hewitt, are Jesus freaks. Or Medved.
Michael Medved. Hi, I'm Michael Medved.
They talk about Jesus. They hold Jesus. They love Jesus. They kiss Jesus. They hold baby Jesus. They just Jesus. So in turn, listeners go, oh, this guy must be a Jesus freak. And then they listen to me and they hear me talking and they go, oh, no, unfollow, not going to listen, boo, I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. I happen to be one of those conservative talk show hosts that is not a Jesus freak. So if that offends you, I'm sorry. I'll try to make it up to you if you and still listen to the program. If not, au revoir. So long. Arrivederci. How's that? So, Pat Robertson, just remember, finished second in Iowa. So, once we get through this second day of people oohing and aahing about Ted Cruz winning something that he was predicted months ago to win. A place that Ted Cruz spent millions of dollars building an infrastructure and creating a faith-based organization of thousands of Jesus-loving, homeschooling volunteers. Once we get through the second day of people forgetting the history of Iowa, we can get ready for New Hampshire. Let's not forget, we have a debate this weekend, and I predict Donald Trump to walk on stage and punch Rafael Cruz right in that smug, arrogant face of his. And then I suspect from that debate, that momentum will translate into big numbers. Okay, big numbers in the New Hampshire voting booth. Even the concept of the caucuses are wacky. I mean, they really are. They're just wacky. You got groups of people in a room. If one group doesn't have more than the other, you have people trying to convince other people to cross over. So you got six people on the Martin O'Malley side. Then you got, 82 people on the Bernie Sanders side trying to convince those Martin O'Malley people to come to their side because that will give them the winning number versus Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's just wacky. It's just wacky. Kind of goes against everything that our voting system is based on. Going into a booth privately, casting a secret. You know what I mean? You go into your booth, you're all alone, you pull the curtain, nobody sees what you're doing. If you wanted to, you could write in, "No, I want Kim Kardashian to be the president." "I want I want Daniel Snyder, owner of the Washington Redskins, to be president." You could do anything. The caucuses, it's like you're in school. You're like in school. You get six people in the corner. Who you guys? "Oh, we're from Martin O'Malley." "Wow, you guys are losers. There's only six of you." "Yeah. Well, why don't you just come over with us so you're not a loser anymore?" "Okay. You're right. We don't want to be shamed anymore. We don't want to be..." It's very, 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 very bizarre. And I think very disingenuous. I don't think it's really the will of the people. It's more like a lynch mob. I mean, if you have a room and you have eight people in one corner, 40 people in the other corner, 50 people in the other corner, and people are looking at your eight people going, "Wow, you guys are losers. You're you're losers. You're the bums. You're wow. No one likes you." What's that going? What do you think's going to happen to those eight people? They're not going to want to sit in that corner. They're going to want to go walk over with the winners. They don't want to be shamed. Hell, I watched this MSNBC argument breakdown where a Bernie Sanders, and this is funny, this is a liberal, remember, this is liberals. Liberals like to put out there that they are respectful and they don't cuss, and they don't, you know, they are just okay, equal, just, yeah, cross-dressing, you know, awards for your race, and, you know, that's the image they like to put out there. That's what they like to put out there. That's their vibe. That's their vibe. So I'm watching a Bernie Sanders group arguing with, I think, a Martin O'Malley group. And the Bernie Sanders caucus leaders trying to convince the O'Malley people to come with them. Like I said, it's not really voting. It goes against all of our voting principles. Really does. It's not right. It's not right. Arguing, and the one girl goes, I just want to know what the F is Bernie Sanders going to do for me? I'm a vet. What the F? This is on MSNBC. It's like this frozen blank look going over Brian Williams, and they're like, oh, we're sorry that went out on the air, but hey, at these events, emotions run high. Ha, 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 ha. Imagine if that was a Republican event. Ah, look at the anger. Look at the white anger. Look at the white anger. They're racist. Democrats, it's emotions run high. But that's the example of the whole caucus thing being just funky. I mean, how many of those Cruz votes, how many of those votes were bullied votes? How many of those votes were bullied votes? That's what I'd like to know. The one thing that this election cycle did show was how these caucuses really work. I will admit that. That was new, actually being there and watching, you know, the group of losers in a corner being mocked and ridiculed by other people. And those individuals eventually walk over to the other side, not because they support that candidate, but because they don't want to be mocked and ridiculed. That's why things will be different. This is my prediction. Things will be different with New Hampshire and South Carolina and Nevada, because people will go into a booth. They will not be bullied. They will not be shamed. It's like voter shaming. That's going to be, you know how they do fat shaming? Can be voter shaming. Hey, who are you voting for? Who, Martin O'Malley? Loser. You're a loser. You're a loser. Oh, okay. Oh, you're going to vote with us now? Hey, you're a winner. You're all right. That's not democracy. Iowa caucuses is kind of like some Middle Eastern voting process. where these savages are in the street and they're screaming and they got machetes and they're, you got the Muslim Brotherhood and it's just weird. It's just weird. What the F is Bernie gonna do for me? What it me? What is that? It's bizarre. It's bizarre. You're supposed to go to some school or some old lady's garage. You walk in. You go, hi, I'm Rob Zicari. And they look on this ledger and they go, oh, here you go. Okay. There you go. You go into this booth. It's next to paint and an old bicycle. You pull the curtain around you. You pull the leather, you walk out, they give you a sticker, you stick it on your lapel, and you get in your car and you leave. That's what it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to walk into a room and someone goes, who are you voting for? Oh, loser, loser, you're a loser. F you, loser. Oh, geez, okay, I'm sorry. Who should I vote? Okay, I'll vote for her then. I'm sorry, I'll vote for him. Okay, who do you want me? I'll vote for a dog. What do you want? Just don't yell at me anymore. Don't yell at me, please. It's just bizarre. New Hampshire's going to be different. South Carolina's going to be different. Nevada's going to be different. It's going to be different. Watch. When people could go and vote without being harassed and bullied and just ridiculed, you're going to have a different, you're going to have an even different outcome. You have a different outcome. Watch. I'm telling you, watch. You watch. You're going to have a different outcome. Traditional voting. Nobody votes like this Iowa stuff. Nobody does that. That's an old, outdated system. They've been talking about getting rid of the whole Iowa caucuses for years. They've been talking about getting rid of it for years. They almost got rid of it when, well, they did. They got rid of their straw polls when Michelle Bachmann won. They went, oh, God. Nobody's ever going to take us seriously. Michelle Bachmann just won. She's running around going, look, look, I'm on my way to the White House. Look. Think about this narrative. Donald Trump calls Iowa stupid and has no idea what 2 Corinthians is. He finishes second with 45,000 votes to a Jesus freak who sets up Bible study groups all across Iowa. And the narrative is Trump's a loser. He's a failure. It's over for him. And a 30-year career politician named Hillary Clinton barely wins Iowa to a socialist who's having a bromance with the Ben and Jerry's guy. Sounds like Jackie Mason. And it looks like Larry David. And that's like, hey, no big deal. Hillary Clinton barely won. And we don't even know if she really won. You could have a Romney Santorum type of vibe. Because remember, back in 2012, the narrative was Romney won. And after a few days, when they finally counted all the votes, they went, no, Santorum actually won. But everybody made a big deal already and the victory speech was out and so forth and so on. So Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders right now are basically separated by like four votes. I mean, really, the votes, the way the Democrats do it, they do it based on caucus numbers. So they don't do 40,000, 45,000. It's like 696 to 692. Well, after they get all the official counts, you could wind up having Bernie Sanders at 697. I mean, Santorum won 29,839 to Romney's 29,805. It can still happen. But that story, state-run media pretending like it doesn't exist is hilarious. I mean, that, here's the narrative. Trump's a loser. Ted Cruz is going to be the nominee. And Hillary Clinton won Iowa just like everybody predicted. Easy. What? How did this become the narrative? How did this become the narrative? 3 months ago, Hillary Clinton was supposed to basically walk away with the nomination. Three months ago. You know, it's just bizarre. It's just bizarre. Okay? It's just bizarre. Conservative media. I'm part of the conservative media, and I'm disgusted with the conservative media. I despise state-run media. I despise the left. But I'm disgusted with my friends in conservative media. I'm disgusted with Breitbart. I am. I'm disgusted with Fox, Newsmax. I'm disgusted with all of them.